Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. I am Bama John. I've got T-Pain and G-Money on this episode. We're going to preview the huge Alabama game with Tennessee. It is the third Saturday in October. It is a battle of Heisman contenders for the second week in a row. You've got Ty Simpson for Bama. You got Joey Aguilar for Tennessee, both having great seasons, putting up big numbers. It's also a battle of high-powered offenses. Is Bama battle-tested? You bet. Is Tennessee battle-tested? Not so sure. We're going to chop it all up here. Today is Thursday, October 16th, 2025, in the year of our Lord. Thank you for tuning in. We now have over 5,200 subscribers on the YouTube channel and growing. We're ahead to 10,000, baby. We're going to get there. Thank you all for listening, subscribing, hit the notify button, and if you access us on the various podcast outlets for the audio, thank you, whether it's Apple, iHeart, Spotify, RSS, and the like. All right, guys, where are we now with Bama in control of its own destiny? 5-1 at the turn, 3-0 in the SEC. We've won two big road games. G-Money, give me some thoughts as we go into this Tennessee game.
Well, first of all, I'm very excited. Third Saturday in October, it's just got such a traditional meaning. And, you know, I've been seeing the guy that talks about the Tennessee, his hatred for Tennessee, that meme's going around. And it's just a very exciting time. And you got to give DeBoer so much credit. He kind of, you know, all the haters and doubters, he fluffed them off like dandruff off his shirt, just like, you know, we're winning on the road. We're winning against really good teams on the road. Now we're home. Like you pointed out many times, he doesn't lose at home. This is going to be a good Saturday night for Alabama.
T-Pain, thoughts? Come on.
Yeah. So one thing on the subscribers, John, you mentioned we're at 5,200 and growing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Well, I have to tell you guys, I'm responsible for something that's about to happen, okay? So today at my office, you know, I do procedures for a living, and the recovery room, patients get crackers, okay? Today, though, I told patients after I did a procedure, I said, if you want crackers, you have to like and subscribe. So we will see how much they want crackers.
Does that violate the Hippocratic Oath?
That's right. Yeah. So anyway, but no, I'm excited. Yes, I think we're on a good path, John. We are battle tested. We played Georgia. This will be the fourth game in a row of a ranked opponent, and we're battle tested. I like the trajectory. I think we are steadily on an incline as far as the coaching is getting better, I think, week to week, and the play is getting better week to week, and we're developing depth on offense and defense.
Six games played, six to go. 11-1 is doable, guys. We're favored in all the rest of the games. And actually, Tennessee's projected to be the closest one that we have. And we got them at home. I think we can do it. We need to keep stacking wins. And It's funny about Tennessee. Tennessee can afford to lose this game more than we can, because have you looked at their remaining schedule after us?
Yeah, it's a joke.
Kentucky, that's a win. They've got Oklahoma at home, that's a win. New Mexico State. Now, at Florida could be tricky, but Florida may have a new coach by then. Billy Napier may be out of there, and they could be in the death spiral. And then they got Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt's at home. So they've got a fluff schedule. They could easily lose to us, end up 10-2. Are they going to make the playoffs at 10-2 if they've lost to us in Georgia and don't have any? Maybe Oklahoma will be a top 20 team when they play them, but they got a cupcake schedule. We still got some tough games. It's more of a must win for us than it is for them, but both teams could still make the playoffs regardless of the outcome.
Yeah, we have a harder schedule. I agree all the way out. But, I mean, you know, Vanderbilt could still be ranked when Tennessee plays them. And Vanderbilt was not easy, man. I mean, that was a down to the wire. I mean, in the last 2 minutes, that was a one possession game. And I would not be surprised if you told me Vanderbilt got Tennessee at home. I wouldn't be surprised. And then Oklahoma, that's a good team. So, yes, we have Auburn on the road, LSU home, Oklahoma, right?
At home.
South Carolina on the road, Tennessee. So I think our stretch is harder than theirs, but we've already lost a game. And well, they had two, they lost to Georgia.
Right.
Yeah. I think 10-2 Tennessee goes to the playoffs.
That could mean five SEC teams. It's going to be kind of wild to see how it all shakes out. I mean, the SEC is a big mess right now as to who's going to survive, who's going to be at that. I think 10-2 is the key mark. I'd be surprised if a 9-3 team gets in, but maybe.
And John, we'll if their only two losses are Georgia and Alabama, those are two good losses. You know, if you have
to absolutely
quantify how good they are, qualify how good they are. But
right,
well, and they're still salty. The Tennessee fan base is probably still salty about Doogie Howser missing the field goal against Georgia. So you know, in their minds, they should be undefeated.
Right,
they're not.
Them's are the breaks. They should have taken care of business.
Yeah.
So Bama's ranked 6. Tennessee's ranked 11. I mean, it's got a lot of buildup on it. SEC Nation's going to be here. So that'll be fun to have them in town. Odds to make the playoffs. Right now, Bama is at -430, which means if you bet $1, no, you'd have to bet $4.33 to get $1. So right now the odds are, according to odds makers, Bama is likely to make it. Tennessee is plus 290. So if you bet $1, you get $2.90 to win on that. So their odds, even though their schedule's easy, those odds must not account for that schedule.
Thinking if I was a betting man, I like both of those odds.
Yeah, no doubt. And here's the weird thing about Tennessee. Their best wins are over Syracuse and Atlanta and Mississippi State on the road. They don't have a good win. I mean, they don't. Arkansas, they barely beat them. I mean, they don't. So we're battle-tested. We're ready for this war. They did. They played a tough game against Georgia, but they jumped up on Georgia 21-7, and then Georgia beat their butts the rest of the way. They put it to them, if you really think about it.
Yeah, we probably have three better wins than they do, don't we?
Oh, absolutely.
Already.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt about that. All right, guys, battle of the Heisman quarterbacks. I mean, who would have thunk it coming in here that this game would be a battle of the Heisman quarterbacks? Tennessee trades their quarterback to UCLA, and UCLA loses four in a row, and then they beat Penn State to expose Penn State, and now Penn State fires their coach, and then Aguilar comes in and is lighting it up. I'm impressed with him. Thoughts about this quarterback matchup?
I think they're both capable quarterbacks. I would call him a dual threat. I mean, he doesn't have
guard. He is, yes. Staff,
but he,
great
he's
point.
A threat. For sure.
Hey, and this is 4 weeks in a row of dual threat quarterbacks, because Gunner's a dual threat. This will be 4 weeks in a row, but we know how to handle it now.
But it's also 4 weeks of progression of our defense against dual threats. You're just seeing it happen. So, you know, I think it'll be fascinating. Ty's our guy. And, you know, if you had to do a binary choice, would you rather have under our system Ty under center or Joey. I would take Ty, and I don't think it's particularly close. That doesn't mean Joey's not a really good quarterback within the system that they run, but I would take Ty over Joey.
Agreed.
Yeah, again, I mean, the stats are kind of close, barring the interceptions. Joey's had five and Ty's had one. But again, against who, you know? I mean, Ty's done this against better competition than Joey has.
So, and the completion rate, Ty's completing 71% of his passes to 65 for Joey. The QB rating, and I don't really know exactly what that rating means. I don't know what all is boiled into it, but he's 10 points
higher. Because you're a amateur, John. Because you're a amateur.
If you guys can explain to me what that QB rating means, I don't know. But we're 10. He's 10 points higher. So, hey, you know, most speakers go to 10. Mine goes to 11.
That's right.
What's that from?
It's from Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah.
Anyway, very, very hammy, funny movie. So before Rob Reiner became just a total wacko leftist, but anyway. he was still somewhat, reasonable at that point. It's going to be a big battle. I'll tell you what, Aguilar is going to go deep. He is going to throw that ball to Brazel and let Brazel's going to be hand fighting. I hope they call offensive pass interference because I don't know if you guys have noticed that Brazel has a tendency to push off and to clear out the corner on him.
Well, and he has a tendency to not get called for it as well.
Right, that's what I'm saying is he does it and doesn't get called. That's what I'm saying.
It's almost like the James Harding in the NBA. He does that little foul all the time and never gets called. He's elite. I mean, let's be honest, Chris Brazel is an elite,
no doubt,
elite receiver, top three in the SEC. I don't know that, I want to get into the ranking game. They've got a very good tight end too. He's got weapons for sure.
No doubt.
If you did a mathematical formula, and I'm sure there are those available on the internet, they're like, what are their projected, points? I think they're going to score. I do. Of course, our consensus against Missouri and Vandy were kind of, I would say, close or whatever. So we can get later into our final predictions or whatever. But I would be shocked if Tennessee scores less than, say, 20 points. Like, that would be shocking to me.
I'm kind of going to be shocked if they score less than 30. I'm kind of looking for a 42-35, not to get ahead of myself, but I'm looking for something in that range. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game unless we can chew clock. And guess what Ty's great at doing? Chewing clock. He can run the two-minute drill when we need to score quick, and he can chew clock, Rick, as long as Ryan Grubb doesn't go ADD and start taking shot plays from our own 20 and get Ty sacked, and then we're in a big hole and we give up stupid touchdowns. So I had to take that shot in there, but that I think that's one thing. But, I mean, they can score quick. It wouldn't surprise me if their average drive when they score is under 2 minutes. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
We've talked about Ty throwing over the middle so much, and that loosened up a little bit against Missouri. But I never made the connection that might have something to do with clock management. If it's second and seven, you got a 5 yard reception to Quavis and the clock keeps running on, like you're saying, that's equivalent to a pass unless you go out of bounds or to a run.
Oh, right.
Or whatever. That's a valuable clock chewer itself, is staying over the middle and in bounds.
And I love, people keep dogging us for not being a good running team, but it's exactly what you said, Gary, that we use the pass, the short pass in lieu of the run to open everything up. And then you have to force them into coverage, and then you can run the ball. I don't know what Jam, and we can talk about this, I don't know what Jam's availability is. I'm kind of pessimistic on it. I don't know if you guys have heard anything else, but I'm afraid he's going to still be in a concussion protocol. So I'm hoping a Daniel Hill, a Kevin Riley, somebody can step up and get those tough yards, because Jam's been great the last 3 weeks. He has been all that we wanted him to be his senior year, and I hate the fact that he was injured, missed the first games up leading up to the Georgia game, and then he got that bad. And I can't believe they didn't call targeting. I'm still mad about that. I am still mad they didn't call targeting on that.
Yeah, it's like he got a concussion. How did he get that? Helmet to helmet.
Right. And it was clear, I thought, on the replay. How did they not see that? I don't know.
Is that a medical opinion, Rick?
It is. That's right. Yeah, he was concussed before he hit the ground. So
there is no doubt. So, you know, I look at, these are both two high scoring. When we look at the offensive stats, I mean, they are. They're averaging 48 points a game. It's crazy. Total offense, so, 527 a game in yardage.
Well, I was going to say, so if our offensive line does their job, okay, we should be able to run the ball. I mean, Arkansas ran for 240 yards on Tennessee. Georgia had a big night rushing when they played in Knoxville. We should be able to run the ball. And then if you, like you're saying, John, if you include our little dinks and dunks, whether they're flares to Riley or whatever, if you include those sort of in an umbrella of quasi-rushing, I think we're going to put up some very nice numbers rushing, including quasi-rushing.
Yeah, and I think Tennessee has the worst pass defense, right, in the SEC?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think Ty is going to have a field day. I mean, you know, and yes, I want the line to give him protection for a long time, but I think the way Ryan Grubb designs.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
We don't have to have a lot of time to get the passes off. So like you said, the short passes. So I think we'll have success, period. So I expect us to score almost every possession, maybe not a touchdown, but some points, almost every possession.
And at home, we don't have to deal with the crowd noise either. They do, we right. don't. That is right. big time in our favor. And don't discount that fact that we beat Tennessee at home. And DeBoer doesn't lose at home. And they're in trouble. They're coming into the T-Pain House of Pain.
That's right. House of Pain.
Hey, boys, get with the weather, night game, Tennessee coming to town. Get your cigars ready, boys, and your lighter.
Hey, look here, boys. Got my cigar cutter ready, boys.
I love it.
But you're not endorsing tobacco use, right?
No, that's right. No, I did not inhale.
Hey, here's a couple interesting stats about their offense. Their third down conversion rate is only 48%, and we're at 58%. And their time of possession in their games, even though they're putting up 48 points a game, is 26 minutes per game. That's kind of shocking. I guess that just shows you they got a quick strike offense.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rick.
I think this is maybe true of a lot of teams, but if we stop them twice, a half especially, and they keep it on two possessions a half, and they don't score, I think we beat them by 15, 14 points.
I was going to say, I'm hoping at the end of the night, and I believe this to be true, but I'm hoping at the end of the night, nobody knows the name Max Gilbert. And the reason I hope you don't know that name, that's their kicker. He's 2 for 2, over 50 yards. You know, could lightning strike and we be in some compromised position because of turnovers, or – you know, could it happen that he's kicking a long field goal at the end of the game to take the lead? Let's hope not. I hope nobody knows the name Max Gilbert Saturday night.
Well, and to your guys' point about their pass defense, their All-American cornerback hadn't played this season, and he's still recovering from an injury. And I'm not sure he's going to play at all. He had an ACL, torn ACL, and he's not ready to go. So unless they're hiding that and he's magically going to be ready to go and ready to play, which you wouldn't think they would want to insert him for the first time against Alabama. They'd want to give him a warm-up game. That's huge. That's huge because that guy's legit.
Giamatti, I hope on the flip side of that, everyone in the country doesn't know Talty's name because he probably missed something.
Hey, because of the duck hook, they already know his name. But
that's right.
I'll say this. So Missouri, and I missed the post-game review or whatever, but you know, we talk about in the pregame to Missouri about Missouri having pieces. Tennessee's got some pieces. I mean, and they've got some pieces on defense, obviously on offense, but they got some pieces on defense as well. Like we talked about Damon Wilson before Missouri, he had a very big game against us. Tyree West, he's their LT Overton. That guy is an elite player will be playing on Sundays. They have pieces on in their front seven that if our offensive line doesn't do their job and doesn't play assignment football and communication football, Ty could be on his back foot a la FSU. I don't think that's going to happen, but there's certainly a risk of that happening. I think that's one of the risks to us to not winning the game. And maybe in my mind, the primary risk is that our offensive line doesn't play well enough, even though they have been progressing. There were some moments in the Missouri game that's like, ugh.
So 4 sacks per game. They average 4 sacks per game, and they average 8 tackles for loss per game. Now, let's remember the competition was at the highest level. And somebody that I just put out a little slam you video today, Joel Klatt, which Rick pointed out to me, he was hyping up how Missouri was going to beat Alabama and how Missouri had all these stats over them. Well, Tennessee's stats are a little inflated because they hadn't played anybody other than Georgia. So, but still, they got 4 sacks a game. We don't have 4 sacks a game. They got 8 tackles for loss a game. We don't have that. So, and they've gotten turnovers and 10, I think they've got 10 QB hurries for the season. And so, yeah, they will pressure us if Simpson sits back there and holds on to the ball too long, or if they speed rush Wilkin, and Wilkin may not be starting. We know that right tackle position may be ceded to Michael Carroll. But you know, he's not going to be able to hold up on an island without somebody chipping on his side. That's going to be a disaster. But fortunately, Ty's been very good at getting rid of the ball. But yes, you're right. That pass rush is going to be fierce.
And by the way, I'm not on social media much, but did I see a post where you kind of mic dropped on Stephen A. Smith with his ridiculous?
You did. I slammed him too.
Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. You're our hero, Bama John.
Yeah.
He deserved it. Stephen A. needed to eat it on that one. That was I like Stephen A. and I enjoy him and he's entertaining, but that was a ridiculous take and he needs to be held accountable for it.
Yes,
it was.
Agreed.
Hey, John and Gary, when you look at the stats head to head and considering who they played, who we played, as I go down, I mean, we just have such an advantage in this game. I think, like, for instance, time of possession, as John said, we average 34 minutes and that's against better quality. They allow 29 points a game, y'all. They allow 29 points a game against that schedule. We're gonna be in the 30s to 40s, I think, fairly easily. They allow almost 400 yards a game against this town. We're gonna have over 400 yards. They allow 260 yards a game passing against that schedule. I just think it all points to us having a lot of success on offense, unless, again, barring some, you know, turnover or some penalties we don't know about. But otherwise, I just think it points to us having points in the 40s to 50s.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, T-Pain, I mean, like, no disrespect intended, but Talen Green in Arkansas, he's not an elite quarterback. He threw almost 70%. He had 256 yards, 2 touchdowns in Knoxville. Wow. Okay, all right, you're not in Knoxville. You're obviously Ty's a superior quarterback, obviously superior weapons, superior offensive coordinator, all that.
Yeah.
You know, could Ty have a – I think an interesting question is, could Ty have a 400-yard plus, you know, 3 to 4 touchdown plus game? I think, gun to my head, I had to answer that. I would say yes. I would say yes. I think it's more likely than not that Ty Simpson throws for 400 yards Saturday night.
Well, Georgia lit him up. Georgia doesn't have a outstanding offense. Georgia's a really good football team. We know that. But they don't have an outstanding offense. And they beat Tennessee in a shootout. All right, other thoughts before we jump into my questions on who's got the advantage? Anything else you guys want to cover before we go into the matchups?
I will say, interesting stat, Tennessee hasn't won here since in 22 years. Not that that matters a whole lot, but still, it's interesting. 22 years, and it's not going to be this year.
Well, and as I
Your
said
thoughts are
before,
interesting.
if we're in Na if we had to go to Neyland for this game, I'd be a lot more worried. But they have to come play on Saban Field in Bryant-Denny Stadium. We're not losing, baby.
At night,
Bank
baby.
it.
At
Bank it.
night. I think there will be smiles when Dixieland Delight blares out of the speakers. I will say
Amen.
that.
All right, guys, let's go into some matchups. All right, Joey versus Ty. What do you
I
think?
would say no, again, no disrespect to Joey. I think he's a fine quarterback. He's been very effective. They have one of the leading offenses in the SEC. But I would have to give an edge to Ty, both in poise, ability to make decisions. I would say elusiveness, maybe call that a push, but overall, I think you got to give Ty the nod.
Yeah, I agree. I'd give Ty the nod. Did Joey play all last year at UCLA?
I
He
think he played.
wasn't at UCLA last
No, I
year.
thought you said he was. I'm sorry.
He went to UCLA and then Nico went there. He hadn't even played a game yet. And then
Oh, I
he
see.
left when Nico went because he figured
Gotcha.
they'd give it to Nico. So then he
I
left. I
see.
think he was at App State last year, was he not?
I don't know, but he probably, my point is, he's probably played a good bit in his
He's
career.
played. He's
Yeah.
very, very
Yeah.
experienced.
So
He's a
I say that
fifth
to say,
year.
I think Ty, he's only played six games and he already looks better than Joey. So, and I think he is literally getting, I think he has more talent than Joey to play the position. And his touch is amazing. I mean, look at that pass to Brooks last week. That's crazy. I just think Ty is a better quarterback. And then every week he seems to grow. And I think Joey's kind of what he is. I mean, he's played a few years already. And he's a good quarterback and he's in a good system, but Ty's better.
Can I add two things to that? So that yeah, that pass to Lottie, that was NFL. That was NFL quality window. I love reading this week about Caden Proctor talking about what Ty said after the Missouri game, chewing the offensive line a new radio edit. And I just love that. I mean, that who does that remind you of? Who is never satisfied? Who we would rather,
Saban,
yes,
Saban.
just like we're pursuing this standard. And I think that Ty's starting to get infected with that. Like, we made a lot of mistakes. Like, well, buddy, we won. What about the 24-hour rule? We got to do better. Y'all have to do
Yeah.
better. And they do. They
And
do.
he said he has to do better as well. He needs to not hold on to the ball so long. He needs to do better, but he's playing great. I mean, he shot up to a first-round draft pick by Mel Kiper. He's ranked as the number three quarterback in the draft class now, which he wasn't on his radar. Aguilar's not rated as a first-round quarterback. I think people are giving him a lot of respect. I bet he'll get drafted, but he's not rated at that same level. And Ty has played tougher games, harder games, won big games on the road. You can't consider winning at Mississippi State on the road in overtime the same as going to Como and winning or going to Athens and winning. That's not the same. And having to go in your first game ever and have your coaches coach terribly, your players play terribly, and you still accord yourself well when you got humiliated. And he's done great. So I love the fact that he's seen it. He is ready for this.
Preach it, John. Hey, we're going to change your name from Bama John to Reverend John.
That's right.
Preach it, baby.
The right Reverend John.
Reverend John.
But I do love the Battle of the Heismans, and this is another week to solidify that Ty's going to be in New York for that ceremony. I can't wait. I love it. Maybe the Bamature Hour is going to New York.
That's right.
For the
Hey,
ceremony.
baby. Let's do it.
Hey, Gary, when you said Ty supposedly chewed the offensive line out, that reminded me a little bit of A.J. McCarron getting in an argument with who was the
Barry
offensive
Jones,
lineman?
Barry
Aaron
Jones.
Jones, when the game's over. I mean, I know it's different, but I think he shows a lot of the same leadership qualities that A.J. McCarron showed. And I like his poise, I like his attitude, I like his ownership of the team. I just think he's destined for some good things this year.
I love that comment that we made that comparison earlier in the year, trying to figure out before the FSU game who might Ty be compared to that had a nice legacy at Alabama. And AJ came to mind. The difference is, though, AJ was like, he had the it factor, no doubt. And I think Ty's, like you're saying, T-Pain, I think Ty's showing us he does too.
Right.
AJ, though, was always stereotyped as a game manager. And Ty may be a game manager, but the system that he plays in is so efficient and his decision making so good. I think he's more than a game manager in anybody's book when
Yeah.
he's on.
You don't make
Yeah.
that fourth down throw if you're just a game manager.
Right.
That was
Right.
elite. That was
Nice.
NFL quality. Put it right, and I mean up and over, and dropped it in the bucket where only Lots Brooks could catch it. And then Brooks came up. Brooks ran the great route and he caught it. That was
And
just
I know that
amazing.
play is the best play of the game, but I really do love that down the seam pass in the end zone to Isaiah Horton. That was
Oh,
gorgeous.
beautiful.
That was
Beautiful.
gorgeous. That was
Well,
gorgeous.
and guys, the Daniel Hill little play, he had to throw it up and over a
Right.
lineman and then drop it, and then Hill had to time his jump right. That
Right.
was not an easy, they made it look easy. That was
Right.
not an easy play to execute.
That
Some
play.
other quarterbacks might not have been able to make that play that we've had.
Oh. Speaking of number four last year, that play right there, he could not do. No.
It's make it, we're reminded every play that quarterback matters. And Milroe did some amazing things.
Right.
And we owe a debt of gratitude to some of the stuff he did do, but this is a different ball game now.
So the big difference to me between Ty and Milroe is Milroe's highs, particularly running the ball, were elite. But Ty's passing highs, other than maybe throwing just a deep go route, are better than Milroe's. His short intermediate game's much better, but his floor is much higher than Milroe's. Because Milroe could get you beat by holding on the ball too long, taking.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.
Backs running across the line, then throwing the ball, not seeing the field, not going through his progressions. Ty's doing, and let me give you a little inside baseball. There's a place called QB Country, and that's where Ty trained in middle school and high school. It's run by the Moores. One of them's name is Tom Moore. Tom Moore was Peyton Manning's QB coach in Indy. So this QB Country run by the Moors, so he's had that training under them. Then he comes here, and Dabo wanted him badly over Cade Klubnik. Dabo wishes he had Ty Simpson, but Ty came here and he sat behind Bryce Young. And then we hired Tommy Reese as the OC. Tommy comes from Notre Dame. They elevate Milroe because he's more of a dual threat than Ty, and Ty's young. But then they put Buckner ahead of Ty. I really think Ty got a raw deal his sophomore year when they gave Buckner the chance to unseat Milroe, and they really didn't give Ty a chance. And it was all because of that Tommy Reese Notre Dame connection to the lacrosse player. And he really, but he didn't transfer. He didn't leave. He hung in there, and he just kept growing and learning because Rick and I are both in the mindset that Ty could have done it last year. He could have done what he's doing this year, last year, and we would have had a better season. And I can't prove it, but I think it. And
Yeah,
yeah, so.
I think DeBoer was kind of afraid to rock the boat last year. So that, I mean, and again, Milroe did some great things, yes, but yeah, I mean, if Ty Simpson had was given the starting job at game one, Yeah, I think we have a better season last year.
And I also think if Reese hadn't have been here, if Reese hadn't have been here, he would have had a chance to unseat Milrow when they were both competing at it. I guess, what was that? There's both his sophomores, right? They were both true sophomores that year.
Right.
I was just saying I had suppressed the name Buckner. That you know, it was just like, is this is our best? You know, that it was
Right.
Yeah.
And that was favoritism, right, Rick? That was favoritism that
it
Reese
was.
Gave Buckner the opportunity.
I remember last year, John, going to the basketball games in January and February, seeing DeBoer sitting next to Milrow. Right then I thought, what are you doing? I mean, you don't need to, you know, be joined to the hip with a guy you haven't even seen throw yet in practice. Just wait and see, wait and see. So I knew then that he was going to be the starter. You know, and I knew Ty didn't have a chance. But, and I admire Ty so much because, like you said, he sat out last year. And I believe he's on the sideline watching Milrow do things that he can't do, like the runs against Georgia. But he's also watching Milrow do things that he knows he wouldn't do. Like he knows he wouldn't run past the line of scrimmage over and over again. And he also knows, hey, I can plays like he does this year. You see him audibling this year. Milrow never did that. Milrow just ran the play, and
I don't think he had authority. I don't think Milrow had authority. But to defend him real quick, and I don't want to read anything last year, but you got to remember two things. Not just Kalen was new. You got to remember Milrow had, and Ty has this too, impeccable integrity. Impeccable integrity as a person. He owned the locker room. There were so many players looked up to him as the leader of the team, and it was his turn. So I understand why I don't fault DeBoer at all for not playing Ty as the starter last year. Now, I think there are a couple of individual games. I wish he would have yanked him and put Ty in a little earlier and played him a lot more. But
I think Sullivan's last name might be Milrow. I'm just kidding.
Hey, guys, and I will give Milrow credit. Under Saban, we were basically one play from going to the national championship. Mm-hmm. We're one play from beating Michigan, and we would have rolled had we gotten against Washington. We would have rolled them up.
That may be one of Saban's best coaching jobs that first year with Milrow. Honestly.
Amazing. Yeah. And I credit that to Saban to limiting Milrow so that he didn't get outside of what he could do, and he didn't turn the ball over as much. He didn't have as many rushing touchdowns, but he didn't turn the ball over as much. He had the grave digger play, which was crazy. But it was crazy. It was crazy. What? But, you know, anyway, love Ty. Ty's ready for the moment. And unfortunately, this may be the only year we get Ty because he looks like he's destined to be a top 15 pick in the draft and that he's going to have a great, which I'm super happy for, but I'm just kind of projecting out a little bit.
I mean, if he is projecting.
Came back.
Yeah, I know. If Ty is projected top 15, there's no way he stays. Do y'all
think? No way. Why would you come back?
I don't know. I mean, again, I can't.
I mean, he's proven everything he had. He's taken all the heat and everything everybody can throw at him in college. And so, okay, we'll see. If we have to match up against Ohio State, we'll see how we do against that elite defense because that defense is elite. If we have to play – if Texas – somehow we end up playing Texas. They have a great defense. There's no doubt about that. I'm not so sure Indiana's defense is as elite as Ohio State, but Indiana I'm really impressed with. They'll be a tough out. Oklahoma's defense is for real. Brent Venables is – and Kane Womack, quit trying to beat Brent Venables. Brent Venables, you are not. You don't know how to do elite blitzing. Stop it. Quit trying to do it. We're getting gashed with your dumb, stupid blitzes. But anyway – that's another rant to go on. But anyway, stop.
Hey, you're like the white Stephen A. Smith.
That's right.
But there's truth in that, baby. There's truth.
That's right.
All right. Speaking of that, next question. Can Kane's defense stop or limit Joey in Tennessee? And Joey Aguilar may be the best dual threat quarterback. You could say maybe Pavia, maybe Aguilar. But can we limit him enough to make sure that we get the win? Your thoughts on Kane and the defense?
I think it depends on what you mean by limit. And we
enough to win. How about that?
Yeah, if that's the question, the answer is a resounding yes. If you said, can we hold them less than four touchdowns total? You know, I'm not so sure. We'll see.
You know, John, the way our defense has performed thus far this year, it does seem like when we get to the red zone, we play a little better. And I think this offense of Tennessee is not as – I mean, I haven't watched them play a whole lot, I have to say. But I just feel like they're better at big shots. And so I think once the field starts shrinking, I think our defensive backs might have more success. So yeah, I think the way our defense is designed so far this year, I think we'll have success at stopping them.
Yeah, and Dijon, watching Dijon, man.
He's growing.
Yeah, we're going to have probably the best backfield that they've faced so far, and we're probably going to have the best backfield that they'll face all year when we get our mix back there right. So, yeah.
Do you put the freshman on Braswell or not?
I wouldn't put him on single coverage. I would not hang him out to dry. If you're going to do that, you got to have a safety over the top who can help. Do like we did against Squirrel White. Put him in press coverage because Braswell's going to eat his lunch. He'll pass interfere. There'll be a hand fighting, and then he'll go up and get the ball. And even in the red zone, they're going to throw it up to Braswell and see if he can go get it. So that's their best opportunity to score, or if they can just run it effectively at us.
I'll tell you what, the Braswell runs out of bounds, Damani can get him.
Savage.
Oh, come on, Damani, play better. Come
I'm
on.
Just kidding,
we
Damani.
Love you.
Damani.
Play better. Play
Damani,
better.
I know that one play, Damani, I know what you were thinking, but, let's get you back on the field. Keep playing hard. Let's go.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, any other thoughts about the defense going up against Joey and that high – they're a high-powered passing offense, but they're a vertical passing game. That's what they do.
Yeah.
I would add one more thing. It's not just Chris Braswell. So Braylon Staley is a very legitimate back.
Agreed.
I mean, receiver, he had over 100 yards against Arkansas. I mean, they have other weapons, and their tight end is a major weapon. I wouldn't say elite, but he's got really good stats, and he's very elusive for his size. So, I mean, I think they're going to move the ball on us, but I think we'll
– Is he Quavis level or better, you think?
I would say he's better.
He's more athletic than
Quavis. Yeah, Miles Kitzelman, he's probably playing in the NFL.
Yeah. And Aguilar's going to scramble for yards too. We've got to contain him. We got to be worried about that. He's a true dual threat quarterback, and I don't know. We can turn him over, but I think he's going to be more of a problem than Prabula. I think he's going to be on the level of Diego Pavia as a problem, except he throws the ball better deep. He throws a better deep ball. He's Diego with a better deep ball.
He's got a better deep ball because he has better receivers than
maybe. Yeah,
true. That's true.
Yeah.
But I just think they do, and they're going to do that hurry up too. They don't want us to sub in. They just want to just push. So, all right. So let's go now to the Bama O-line versus the Tennessee D-line, guys. What do you think?
Probably Tennessee D-line.
It pains me. See what I did there? It pains me to agree. So they've got some players. They just have some really elite players at defensive line, which belies some of the rushing statistics and that kind of thing. But they got three guys that have at least three sacks or defensive linemen. They have, like I said, they got a guy that looks like LT. They got a guy that Caleb Herring, who is a huge, strong, athletic guy that can move linemen who are 300-plus pounds. I would have to give the edge to Tennessee.
I'm in agreement, guys. Can't argue with that. All right. How about the Tennessee O-line versus the Bama D-line?
I call that a push, but I favor Bama D-line a little bit.
I would call it a slight – I guess I'm saying the same thing as T-Pain. I'd say a slight edge to Alabama, especially with the emergence of some of the young guys that just keep playing better and better. I would give us a slight edge.
So I'm going to be in agreement with you as long as Kane doesn't do stupid, undisciplined blitz packages. Then we're going to get shredded. We cannot give up those chunk plays. We can't get guys out of position and just vacate areas of the field and get shredded. So,
John, you're the host, John, you can't have it both ways.
I know, man. John, our run defense statistically is not good, but, if we can stop the gash plays,
right,
we're fine.
Yeah.
We're fine. Because the gash plays is really all that they're doing to us. These teams, we can stop the explosive runs. I think their run per their run per carry is going to be probably 3 yards or 4 yards, most of these teams, but they're breaking off these 60-yard runs that kill us.
And that's mostly – go ahead, Greer.
Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, mostly those gash plays are due to defensive misalignments. We get aggressive. We get in trying to, instead of just bend but don't break, being defensively sound, we want to go make a big negative play, and it ends up being a big negative play that they make, and they get the gash play. So don't do that. Don't do it.
I was just going to say, I saw one stat that really stuck out to me that I think reflects positively on Tennessee's defensive line, and that is – Chauncey Bowens, who I think we would all agree he's
good.
The Georgia back
he's
that good. Gashed us.
Mm-hmm.
He was held 12 rushes for 32 yards against Tennessee. They shut him down. That's impressive to me.
Nick Frazier had a better game against Tennessee, and then that big back McCoy, particularly in overtime, was stuffing it down their throats. So Georgia in the fourth quarter and in overtime ran the ball effectively. I think that's just that Tennessee doesn't have the depth we do, believe it or not. So I think Georgia wore them out due to time of possession and just getting them tired. So
you're undermining my narrative.
No, I think they were effective until they got tired. And our time of possession wears on those defenses. It really does. So I'm optimistic about that. All right, Tennessee run game versus the Bama D. Thoughts?
Probably Tennessee run game. I'd give a tilt to the run game of Tennessee based on the stats I've seen, but and based on the gashes I've seen us give up. So
I would agree with that, and like you know, like Georgia, for instance, they have multiple backs who have 300 plus yards for the season so far. And, you know, Deshaun Bishop, you know, we talk about averages sometimes, and averages can be misleading.
Right.
But he's averaging 7.6 yards a carry. And we were throwing all this love towards Ahmad last week. But, I mean, he's even higher than that against, you know, not great opponents, but Missouri didn't have great opponents either. So, I mean, that I expect them to run the ball, like T-Pain's saying.
I think if we can just hold them into a similar situation like we did against Missouri, don't let them go Georgia on us, hold them like we did Missouri and Vanderbilt, we're in good shape. I will give them the edge, but I don't think it's as big as the numbers would indicate. I'll just say that. And if Kane will be disciplined and run sound schemes every time and not think you're not Brett Venables. I have some news for you. You're not. If he'll do that, I really think we'll be fine. And the run Tennessee's run game won't beat us. They might put some numbers up, but that's not going to beat us. All right. Go ahead,
John. I think they both need a prescription of Adderall before the game. Just kidding.
You have the silver pen, Rick.
We do, baby.
Focus. Focus. All right. How about the Tennessee passing game versus the Bama D?
I'm gonna give us. I no disrespect to Joey. I give Alabama the slight edge there.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what you mean exactly. What I mean is what I think of it is this. I think they're going to be well below their average. They're gonna have receiving yards and they're gonna score. But I think we're gonna hold them well below their average. So I would give us the nod there.
I think we're going to do what we need to do to win the game. And that's what I'll say about that is they're going to get some yards. Aguilar's probably going to have 300 yards. He might throw for 3 touchdown passes, but we're going to do what we need to do to make sure they don't beat us. And that would be because we do. We have a great passing game. Again, as long as we're schematically sound, I really believe in our ability to defend the pass. So, come on, do it.
Do it.
And this gets to my next question, which I always ask. Can Bama play assignment football and discipline football on defense and not give up the big chunk plays on third and fourth down that get you beat?
I'm hopeful they can. They can learn from the past 6 games. I'm hopeful. Yes.
Yeah, Tennessee is a gash play type of offense. So, you know, if we hold them to under, like if we define gash play as 30 yards, whether it's through the air or on the ground, if we can hold them to, say, under 5, I think that's success.
Yeah.
I think we can do it. We've proven in these last three games that we can rein it in. We're going to get gashed once or twice because for some reason we just can't help ourselves. But I'm hopeful it's not five or six times like FSU did. So I'm hopeful. I'm like you guys. I'm hopeful. All right, let's go to the Bama running game against the Tennessee D. Who's got the advantage there?
I'd say Tennessee, especially this week with Jam probably not playing. I give the nod to Tennessee D.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like when Jam came back and he was healthy, he was the man. Without him, we just are not as potent of a rushing offense without him. So I agree with T-Bain.
I'm in agreement with you guys. And unless they find the magic elixir for that offensive line this week and all of a sudden they step it up a level, I think the best we can hope for is a push. If we're able to push in that department, that's a huge win. All right, how about the Bama passing game versus the Tennessee defense?
Here comes the shaker.
Roll Tide, Roll Tide. Roll Tide. Alabama passing.
100% Alabama passing game.
Yeah. Bring out the jabroni, baby. Let's go. Let's go, and we're gonna steamroll them. We're gonna bring out the snow plows, and we're just gonna plow through them.
I notice you've been throwing those guns up a little bit, John. Have you been? You guys know the nowadays the refs are all like super, you know. Stacked.
John, do that again. I'm putting my glasses up
for the podcast.
What, dude? John, dang boy.
Hey, AI makes it look really good. Oh, that's all I could say.
I love that. I love that.
I think we're going to have a big day against their defense. I really do. I think Ty in the passing game, particularly if we mix it up and don't do the stupid shot plays from our own end of the field, I think we're going to just shred them.
I agree.
And I hope Michael Carroll starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I do. I hope he's ready to go and good to go. All right, so let's go with the head coach. The head coach matchup. Who's better, DeBoer or Heupel?
DeBoer.
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 DeBoer. DeBoer. DeBoer. DeBoer.
Josh Heupel is 3-6 against top 10 teams, and what is DeBoer like? 8-1 or whatever he said. DeBoer, clearly DeBoer.
John. If DeBoer was going down the field against 100 guys, who wins? DeBoer.
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 DeBoer. DeBoer. DeBoer.
I like that. I like that.
We like DeBoer.
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 All right. How about the OC? Who's better? Who's got the better OC?
I like Grubb, baby.
RG. RG. 100 times out of 100.
I have to give credit to Tennessee's offense. They're very potent. But Ryan Grubb, as long as you don't go ADD, he's great.
Does Heupel run the offense, or is it – who's the OC there? Do y'all know?
I don't know who it is, but it's Heupel.
It's Joey Housley. Okay. And the fact that you don't know his name tells you a little something. He – you know, this is not the volunteer amateur hour. This is the – you know, we got to give credit where credit is due. And Ryan Grubb – you know, we hate that you're going to get a huge head coaching job at the end of this year, but keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's Heupel's offense, guys. I mean, I think whoever's the OC's in name only. And Heupel's a great offensive mind, but Grubb's better. Grubb's better. Defensive coordinator.
Who's that better? DeBoer. I'm sorry. DeBoer.
I will say this about – so that's Denard Wilson is their guy. He plays a lot of like really aggressive coverages, man coverage. He's got 12 years of experience in the NFL. I would call that a push just kind of out of respect for the fact that Alabama's defense is improving. And you could say, well, they're allowing all these points, but they seem to be gelling a little bit. So I would say a push.
Yeah, I'd probably say a push too. I don't really know their defense too well, but I know our defense. I have a hard time saying us. So don't push is good.
I kind of hate to say this, but if I could trade Kane for their DC, I would take that trade. I think they've got a really good defensive coordinator, but, you know, they're All-American corners out, and he's hurt. They clearly don't have the depth like we do. So I think our defensive personnel is better than theirs. I think their defensive coach is better than ours. So,
although I will say, Kane, if we see you out at North River playing tennis this offseason, hey, man, listen, we like you, and we think you're going to get better every week.
We pull for you. We want you to do better.
We are rooting for you.
Just don't do crazy blitzing. Yeah. No crazy blitzing. How about that? All right, special teams.
I don't even know UT's situation, but I'd say UT.
Max Gilbert.
Yeah.
Say the name, Max Gilbert. I'm afraid that Tennessee's got the edge there.
I think they do. How about poison penalties?
Us at home.
Alabama.
And we've gotten better, guys. We've done better on all of those, being more disciplined, being more poised, less penalties. We've done better the last 3-4 weeks. I think we're maturing and we're growing. So I feel comfortable with that.
And if you look at what the sound level is going to be on third and long when Tennessee has the ball, the 12th man is going to be a factor in this game.
Yes.
Hey, they've ripped down the goalposts the last two times we've gone to Neyland Stadium. We're out for blood.
Yeah.
Another revenge game.
We don't rip down goalposts here.
Only if they played a national championship game and on Saban Field in Bryant-Denny Stadium would we rip the goalpost down.
Right,
and it would be warranted then, but other than that. Okay, what about in-game adjustments, halftime adjustments? Who do you trust more? Trust Kalen or do you trust Josh Heupel?
I would say DeBoer, honestly. Number one, because I love the Chicago DeBoer. I mean,
DeBoer, 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 DeBoer.
Anytime I can say DeBoer like that, I'm going to say it. But no, seriously, though, if you look at the two games that I'm most familiar with that Tennessee was involved in are Arkansas and Georgia. You know, they, if you look at the stats first and second half, they didn't seem to make any kind of like amazing adjustments or whatever. DeBoer, you know, I would just give him the edge there.
Yeah, Gary, before you said that, I was thinking, that bar.
That bar. That bar, that bar, that bar. That bar, that bar, that bar. That bar, that bar, that bar, that bar. That bar, that bar, that bar.
That should be a hot take.
You just started a new craze, John. Middle-aged guy starting a new craze. That's awesome.
Hey, John, is that Chris Farley that went back and forth, or was that?
It was Chris Farley. It was Norm. Goodman. What's his name from
Goodman?
The guy that was on Cheers, you know, Norm
John
from
Goodman.
Cheers.
Yeah.
And well, John Goodman, no, but I can't remember the name. Is it George Wendt? Maybe is he the guy that played Norm? From Norm.
Yeah.
That bar. And have you guys ever seen that bar in Boston?
No.
Yes. Yeah, I've been to Cheers. Really cool. It is cool. I was a big Cheers fan. So, double. All right. Who do you trust in a high-scoring shootout? Who do you trust to win? Because I think it's going to be a shootout.
Are you saying coach or team?
Whatever. I mean, the team coach.
DeBoer.
Bama and DeBoer. Bama and DeBoer.
Bama and DeBoer.
Look, you guys are old enough to remember who Arthur Fonzarelli is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I predicted that we were going to majorly cover against Missouri. And you know how Fonzie couldn't say the word wrong? Well, I'm not Fonzie, so I can say I was a little wrong about the Missouri thing.
But We won.
The line, I know, and we won by three, but... The line in this one's 7.5. I think Bama covers. I think we win by 2 digits. So I think.
Do you have a specific score you want to put out there?
I do.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I'm ready. Let's do it.
I think we win 38-27.
Okay.
All right. I have Alabama and DeBoer at 45 and Tennessee at 31.
Woo! I hope you guys are right. I think it'll be a little closer. 42, DeBoer, Heupel 35. I think we win by 7. I think we win. I don't think we cover. I think it's going to be a high scoring shootout.
You won the score last week, John. You got the closest. So,
yeah. Props.
Well, probably. We won again. I don't care if we win by one. I want to win this game. I want to keep stacking wins, baby. But I think at home, we're not going to lay an egg like we did against South Carolina and almost lose it. I think we'll be in better control this time. I'm excited about it.
I'm too. I'm really excited. I was reading an invite on my text message to go tailgate this weekend. It's here, boys. UT.
And you're going to go, dip-bar, dip-bar, dip-bar.
Yeah, I'm going to start that this weekend, everywhere I go.
And give out some autographs too, right?
That's right. I've been working on my autograph for T-Pain.
That's right.
T-Pain. All right, guys, let's talk a little Bama hoops. Let me see if I can get an update on the score. Anybody got an update on kind of how we finished out there?
I don't. But, hey, y'all, Ty Simpson's from Tennessee, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
I mean, I think he wants to beat them bad. So,
all right, let me see if I can get us a score as to how we finished out.
Hey, this Alabama basketball team's pretty talented, I will say. I know we didn't look great, but they have a lot of talent.
All right, let me see. We're losing with 7 minutes to go.
That's all right.
It's tied with 5 minutes to go. Still going on. Are we in overtime? All right, so it's tied. Apparently, we're in a big battle. So I will shut that thing off, and we'll leave it at that.
So all of our subscribers, this is how the sausage is made. You know what I mean? This is now we're kind of, this is really us now.
Behind the curtain. That's right.
Behind the curtain, baby.
This is true. This is the true Bamateurs. So, guys, here are the questions that I wrote down before we went into this game, going into the basketball season, because I think we got 9 new players. We only got 4 guys back, or no, 5 guys back. So I think there's just a lot of question marks about this team and how they're going to go. So I said question number one for me that I want to see tonight and see over the next few weeks is LeBaron Fylon. Can he consistently make threes? You know, is he elevated from a 31% three-point shooter to a 40% three-point shooter? Can he run the point guard? Sears is gone. Can he do that? Can he provide the leadership that we need? So that was point number one to me. Thoughts about Fylon and kind of his impact on this team?
I think he'll progress during the season like he did last year. But I will say this, and I'm not saying he's a better player, but Mark Sears is not easily replaced.
No, he's not.
He just, you know, when the pressure was there, the clock's running out, we knew who got the ball. Hopefully LeBaron can become that for us. He's not there now, but I think he'll progress over the year and be a key piece.
Yeah, I'm hopeful too, Gary, that he'll progress. He's not going to replace Mark and his attributes, but he's going to do other things. And I think it's going to be by committee. I like what I saw tonight, well, a little bit I saw of the other guys. I mean, I thought Taylor Bowen looks really promising. I thought the Millette looked pretty good, but a little bit I saw like 10 minutes in the first half. I thought that big guy, Collins Onyeka, whatever his name is.
Onyeka or something like that. I'm going to have to find out how to pronounce his name. It is a funky name.
Yeah, he's a big body. And the announcer said Cheryl looked like he grew 2 inches in the offseason. So,
yeah, they're listing him at 7 feet.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And he started, by the way. Cheryl started at center.
So if he's 7 foot, Noah Williams is 7 foot. Well, we, I think it's going to take a little time. Anytime you add 8 players to a mix, it's going to take some time. So I think we'll be a lot better in January than we are in November.
Hey, I'll say this about Fylon, guys. I saw him hit a beautiful step-back three. I also saw him hit another open three. Now, of course, he missed a free throw. I'm like, come on, guys. And we missed a lot of free throws while I was watching. I was disappointed in that. But Fylon looked good to me. He looked like he was in control. He didn't look like he was overmatched. It looked like, hey, he's been there and he's done that. He's played at a high level at this level. He seemed prepared from what I saw. Of course, I didn't watch any of the second half, so I don't know. But I was impressed with Fylon tonight so far.
Well, I was going to say Latrell didn't play tonight. Latrell, right?
So yeah, he's out. They set him.
I love that guy. I love his game. I like what he can do inside, outside. Amari Allen, there's a lot of buzz around him. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's going to be a player. And Sherrill, he's, last year he would make plays. They're like, man, yeah. And then he would do things like, what are you doing? So we can hope that along with 2 inches in height that he has gained, that he's gained a little bit of decision making and experience, and can become a major factor, because we've got to have that rim protector. And it's just a big game. We're becoming like the NBA, where you get guards that are 6'5", 6'6". Now Mark Sears was an exception to that trend. We got to have the big guys.
Yeah.
Hey,
So,
I didn't see Williamson play in the game. I didn't see Noah Williamson out there at all.
yeah,
I'm
I
not
didn't
sure.
either.
Is he injured? I didn't see a report to that, but I didn't see him play. And obviously, Bethea didn't play either. Jahlil Bethea didn't play, and he's injured. So you really had three guys. I don't know what's going on with Williamson, why he wasn't in the game, but I didn't see him in there at all.
Did you see Murphy? Is he Murphy, Preston Murphy tonight?
I did not.
Or Davy and Hannah, number
I
four?
saw Hannah play,
Okay.
and I saw him make some good plays, and then I saw him make some freshman plays. So all three freshmen played. Hannah played, and who were the other freshmen? Jemison played, and Amari Allen, and they all looked legitimate. I mean, they can play at this level. They're all good players. I saw Hannah make a couple plays. I'm like, he doesn't look very good. And then I saw him come back down and make some legitimate D1 plays. So I was impressed with the freshmen overall. They were out there making it. Now, TBB, Taylor Ball Bowen, that guy's good. He's
Yeah.
long. He can shoot threes. He can defend. He can rebound. Bristow made a number of good plays. He was good out there. I really liked his game. Very excited to watch him play. I thought Cheryl was effective. So we got some players, guys. I think we got to figure out the mix. I'll tell you who was making a lot of bad plays was Holloway.
Yeah.
He was a ball stopper. He was too dribble centric. He was too much one-on-one. And I think when our offense is at its best, man, the ball is just moving, 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 cut, pass, keep the ball moving and move it around till we get a good look. And I thought Holloway was doing too much one-on-one and not just working through the offense. So I was disappointed in that. And I think he's going to have to, Nate Oates is going to have to get on him because he's better than that. And Gary, I think you're the one that said he's either great or terrible. And
Yeah.
tonight we saw terrible Holloway, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I will say this. So as the season progresses, just like last year, you gotta have a couple of pieces where you have truly elite quickness. That kid is elite quickness. His first step is just lightning fast. And when he gets in rhythm shooting, he's really an asset to the team. The problem is there's a reason he didn't stay at Auburn, or I'm not sure what the circumstances were there. But it wasn't like, they didn't throw $2 million at him to make him stay, because they knew both the good, the bad, and the ugly for him.
Yeah, they had Tahad Pettiford coming in. They had other guards that played really well. They didn't need him. They really
No.
didn't. They made a business decision and decided they didn't need him, and we needed him. And I saw him drive with that elite quickness and then get his shot blocked.
Yeah.
And it was like, come on. And that's why I want to see him moving the ball, keep distributing, keep running around, go, like Steph Curry does. Steph Curry doesn't hold the ball long. He's an elite shooter. Holloway may be quicker than Steph Curry. He's not a better shooter. He may be quicker than him, but Steph Curry doesn't keep the ball long. He doesn't. If you look at how the number of seconds or minutes he actually holds the ball in a game, it's very limited, but his impact is so great because he's a great decision maker. And I didn't see that in Holloway tonight. I saw him as a guy that stops your offense and keeps that flow. So I want to see him improve. I thought Millett played well from what I saw. I liked a lot of what I saw. And then we jumped up 10 points, and the next thing I know, we go in half down once. I'm like, I don't know.
That the Steph Curry, though, that's an unfair comparison. That's like saying, well, LeBaron Fallon doesn't play as well as Michael Jordan. I mean, yeah. I mean, Steph's like top five player of all time in my book. So, he sets the platinum standard. Nobody, if we can get our guys to play the gold, 10 karat gold, in terms of the NBA standard, that'll be success.
But I think my point is you don't need to ball hog the ball. Keep the ball moving. Keep the ball passing and moving. And I think Nate Oates' offense is best when it's at that. So I and it was curious to see, and I wrote down who's gonna start the game. and it was Holloway, Filon, Sherrill. It was Taylor Ball Bowen, which I was surprised at that. And who was the fifth one that started?
It's gonna be Reitzel when he's healthy. But
right, well, that's what we hope is it'll be Reitzel because he's a dead-eye shooter. But I was surprised that Taylor Ball Bowen started, but I loved it. I really like his game. Really like his game. I thought we shot the ball well from three from what I saw, and that was my question. How well are we going to shoot the threes? Then I wrote down free throw percentage. We missed a lot of free throws in that first half. I don't know how much you guys saw us claiming free throws, but I'm like, no, not again, because we lost games from missed free throws last year, and that was brutal.
Well, we're going to live and die by the three. That's, you know, it's just part of the system. So,
but he likes our players to get fouled, get to the free throw line. So we got to make threes, but we got to make our free throws as well. We need to shoot 75% to 80%, not 66% or 68%. So anyway, those are just the points I wanted to make about Bama basketball. I'm excited that hoops is going on. It's going to be crazy with football and hoops gearing up, and Bama's in a playoff run. If we keep playing the way we are, we're going to get to enjoy the playoffs and maybe going to the SEC championship game and contending for a natty and having a Heisman Trophy candidate on the team. It's going to be a great rest of the fall and into the winter. I'm excited about it. I can't believe that hoops started tonight. So anyway, I just want to bring that up for discussion. Any other thoughts, anything on that front?
I just say simply, I like the makeup of the team. And what I mean is just the, you know, I think every team that goes far in the tournament has to have seniors, right? And we do have seniors. We have, you know, 3 seniors and like 4 juniors or 3 juniors. I just think I like that we're not lopsided one way or the other. We have a lot of youth. We have a lot of experience too. So I like this team to develop over the season and make a run, man, in March.
And how good does it feel where we can honestly sit in our chairs and know that we have top level coaches in football and basketball? Nate Oates, he's got 2 kids still in school here. He's, you know, a family oriented father kind of figure. He's here for a while. We're glad to have him. I hope he'll stay here his whole career. That guy can flat out coach. He can flat out recruit. Just delighted to have him as our coach.
Yeah.
We've got DeBoer, and we got Nate Oates. I'm a huge Nate Oates fan. I'm a big believer that he will get the most he can out of this team. I'm thrilled. I am a Gary Ditto. I agree with everything you said. All right. Any other thoughts about basketball before we just talk quick SEC standings?
I'm good.
Okay. Couple of things. You got Ole Miss at 3-0 in the SEC. You got Texas A&M at 3-0 in the SEC and Alabama at 3-0. I think Texas A&M is really good. I think they're going to be right up there in contention for the playoff and, you know, for making the SEC championship game. I guess we're going to find out about Ole Miss. I'm not convinced on Ole Miss. What are you guys' thoughts about Texas A&M and Ole Miss?
I think Ole Miss is not favored to win in Athens. I think I haven't seen the line in a couple of days, but I mean, I think they're disfavored by a field goal or something like that. I don't think it would surprise anybody if Georgia beats Ole Miss. Now, how they beat them is going to be interesting if they beat them. Texas A&M, you know, they're starting to look scary. So that's my view.
Yeah, I think I like A&M better than Ole Miss right now. We don't play either one of them at this point in the schedule. But, I'd rather play Ole Miss in Atlanta than A&M. Yeah.
I agree with that. But I think Ole Miss, Gary, to your point, is going to go to Athens and lose. Lane Kiffin hasn't won any big road games in his career at Ole Miss. I mean, they went to Florida and laid an egg, or they were going to the playoffs. They let Kentucky beat them at home last year. How did that happen? I mean, and I think Kiffin's a really good coach. Their defensive coordinator, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. But
too busy on TikTok.
Yeah, but I think that I'm more worried about Texas A&M than Ole Miss. And then below that, obviously, the Alabama-Tennessee game is going to be a real separator in the SEC race. So that's a big game for us. LSU at Vandy. What do you think?
I haven't seen the line on that, but I would not be surprised at all if Vandy wins that game. That's in Nashville, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah.
I would not be surprised at all. Vandy, look, we all saw the game here. They are a good team. I mean, they are a fundamentally sound team. I was very surprised at how many athletes they have on their team. Again, I haven't seen the line, so the line may say LSU, but I think Vandy wins that game.
Yeah, if I was putting money on, I put money on Vandy there at home.
And that's another separator. The team, whoever loses that game, is really going to be struggling to try to make the playoffs. The winner of it's going to be in contention. I mean, Vandy wins that game, they're in contention for the playoffs. Now, it'd be funny if they beat Tennessee, and I'll be pulling for Vandy. You guys know I'm a Vandy fan, so I'd love to see them beat LSU. I'd love to see them go to Knoxville and beat the Big Orange. And what about Texas, guys? What do you make of Texas?
They're the second level in the SEC.
Yeah, it reminds me of education, where money is not necessarily going to solve everything. Texas has as much money, more money than any program in the SEC.
They got more money.
They got the money. And I think they got a good head coach. I'm a Sark fan.
I am too.
They've got some dysfunction there that reminds me of a few years. I don't want to say coaches' names at Alabama, where we had some dysfunction in the program pre-Saban, and it's painful to kind of go through that, but I think that's where they are at the moment.
And I think Arch is going through growing pains. He wasn't ready for the big time. Then he got thrown to the wolves against Ohio State. I mean, what a hard first game to have to go to Columbus and play that defense. Matt Patricia, heck of a D coordinator, with loaded talent, NFL talent all over the field on that team. And I think that shook him. And, I think, and then they go to Florida and that mishap. So good for him for getting right against Oklahoma. But I don't think this is Texas's year. I think Texas look towards next year. That's my take. They're not making the playoffs. They're not going to beat A&M. They can prove me wrong, but I think the trend is next year is going to be Texas's year.
They have two losses right now, or three right now?
Two. They got two.
Who do they have left? Hard, you know? I mean, who's
A&M's the biggest tough game they have.
I got you.
But yeah, I think that's going to be tough for them. And then Missouri's at Auburn, right? I believe that's who Missouri plays.
That's right.
So Missouri's only got one loss. I mean, they could easily do a Tennessee and go 10-2 because they've got that weak schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have a lot. We could have, I don't know, 5 or 6 10-2 teams potentially in the SEC, which would be crazy. I don't know how you'd shake all of that out. But anyway, those were the SEC teams I just wanted to make note of and get your take on it as we compete to see who's going to make the playoffs, and as we compete with them to get the SEC championship, just get your thoughts on that. But I like our chances against any of them. I'm probably most afraid of Texas A&M at this point. They do have a dual threat quarterback who's pretty good. He went to my high school. He's a Montgomery Bell Academy graduate. But
this is Mike Elko's second year, right?
Correct. Yes.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So that's who I'm most scared of at this point, but we can beat any of them. I think we can play with anybody.
Agreed.
All right. Well, parting shots, guys. I know we've been on here a long time. We've gone through not just football hoops. We've gone through the SEC. G-Money, parting shots.
Parting shot is, it's a great moment to be part of the Bama Nation. It's exciting. You know, yes, we got SEC Nation coming in. SportsCenter easily could be here if the Georgia and Ole Miss game wasn't going to go on. What a great time to be a Bama fan. Roll Tide.
I agree. It's a great time to be Bama Nation. It's a great time to have SEC Nation here. It's a great time to be part of Bamature Hour. It's a great time to have a coach like DeBar.
DeBar.
And I'm getting my little, my $1 cigar thing ready, cigar cutter ready, baby.
Hey, we're going to be smoking them Saturday night, boys, at R&R Cigar. Just good. Hey, live looking, 106 to 102, Alabama over Florida State, 31 seconds.
Sweet. Make some free throws and send them home.
Yeah.
Send them packing. Sweet. All right, guys. Well, all I've got to say is DeBoer. DeBoer is the greatest coach in the world. DeBoer. Bama. Bama's the greatest.
Producer
team.
Scott. I do not envy producer Scott. He's got so much material to work with. Man.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, follow, like, hit the notify button wherever you access the podcast. We love having you all on here. God bless and roll time.
Roll time. Roll time.